Good morning. Welcome to Super Bowl Sunday. I got my jersey on today. My team doesn't get to play, but I'm kind of used to that. One of the things, I'm a huge sports fan. I like football is my favorite. And one of the things we like to do as sports fans is argue over who's the greatest of all time. Some positions we argue about that less than others. It seems like wide receiver is pretty settled. Everybody usually goes to Jerry Rice, but we could throw in a couple others here and there. Quarterback's, though, the one that everybody argues who's the greatest of all time. And I don't want to go through a list of them because, well, I have a favorite, and I want to stick with him. But I do want to talk about some of the things that make a quarterback great. What is it that, if you're going to have a greatest of all time quarterback, what does he need to be able to do? He has to have a great arm, right? The way they say it in football is he's got to make all the throws. He's got to be able to hit any throw anywhere on the field and be able to do that to be a great quarterback. He's got to be able to read the defense and see what's coming. He's got to be able to keep track of down and distance and know what the situation is on the field. He needs to be a great leader and good teammate and get along with the other guys. And these are some of the things that a great quarterback needs to have if we want to include him in the list of the greatest of all time. My favorite had all those. Woohoo! Thing he didn't do was win a bunch of Super Bowls. But we got one that we're excited about still. I want to discuss a different greatest of all time today. I want to talk about the greatest of all time evangelist. If you were going to make a list of greatest of all time evangelist, who would you have on the list? You guys can speak. All right, the Apostle Paul, not this Paul. We painfully made that distinction in the first service. I am not who they are talking about when they shout Paul. No, the Apostle Paul would definitely be one of those. Started churches all over the place, and tons of people came to know Christ. Who else? Who? Billy Graham would have to be up at the top of your list, right? I was reading this week a little bit about Billy Graham. Did you know that one time he spoke to 1.1 million people in South Korea? And 75,000 of them filled out a first-time decision card. So I think we'd have to put him towards the top of our list somewhere in the greatest of all-time evangelist. Who else do you have? Jesus. Hey, the Sunday school answer. Thank you very much. And at the end of the service, make sure you go to church and read your Bible. But yes, Jesus would definitely have to be right up at the top of every list we do. Well, what? Yeah, Moody, definitely. Who else? Billy Sunday, yeah. Okay, so what makes these guys great evangelists? Like we broke down the quarterbacks, what made them great quarterbacks? What makes these guys great evangelists? I'm going to write some of these down as you give them to me. Wow, it's a lot quieter all of a sudden. All right, faithful to the word. What else? All right, he did the call to go. All right, studied the word. Spirit-filled. No fear. Willing to confront. All right, any others? Lifelong. All right. Now, we're going to remember this list because we're going to look at what, and you can argue this with me later because that's what we do. We argue about who's the greatest of all time. So feel free to send me emails this week at ktreadway@bbcministries.org. He always does that to me. I finally get the chance to do that. No, but I do want to look at what I believe is the greatest evangelist of all time. So if you have your Bible, please help me with this one. It'll help you. Turn with us to Jonah. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to read a bunch of this story because I don't want to assume that all of you grew up in Sunday school or that the people watching grew up knowing the story of Jonah. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the first three chapters of Jonah. This is why turning there will help you, because it could get long if you're not following along. Let's pray, and then we're going to read Jonah. God, thank you so much for your love. Thanks for the service that we've had so far, the excitement that we've had to share with the Tullys, the music. Just thanks for the chance to be together this morning. Thank you for the people that we are together with streaming as well. Help us to honor you. Help us to think about you. Help us to love you the way we should. And help us to be great evangelists. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in Jonah chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying,
Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it for their evils.
Has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, And they said to one another,
Come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah.
Then they said to him, Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us.
And where do you come from? What do you do? What is your occupation?
And of what people are you? And he said to them, Jonah. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, What is this you've done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told him. And then they said to him,
What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? The sea grew more and more impetuous.
And he said to him,
Get me up and hurl me into the sea.
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord,
O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay out on his innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done it.
So they picked Jonah up and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying,
Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that
So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out,
"Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown."
And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he'd said he would do to them, and he did not do it. All right, it might be a while since you read Jonah. It might be a while since you were in Sunday school and did Jonah in class. But as we look at what happened, I mean, we start off with God calling Jonah to go to Nineveh. And he goes the other way, right? He's going to Tarshish. He gets on the ship, and a great storm happens. And they cast lots and find out it's because of him. They throw him overboard, and he sinks to the bottom of the sea, and a great fish swallows him. He's in the fish 3 days and three nights before being vomited onto the beach. And then he walks to Nineveh. Well, God calls him again, and he walks to Nineveh. And when he's there, he preaches, and the entire city believes God. It tells us at the end of chapter 4 that there were 120,000 people in the city who didn't know their right hand from the left. Some people argue whether or not that means there was 120,000 children and a bunch of other adults, or whether it was 120,000 in total. Really, that doesn't matter to us. This is an incredible number of people. The entire city comes to God. What did you do this week? My goodness, what a week, right? So if we're going to call Jonah the greatest evangelist of all time, let's compare him to the list that we made of what would make a great evangelist. He was faithful to the word. Well, we really don't have much of his message. I mean, God gives us his greatest hits of that sermon. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." We don't know if he said more than that or not, but we can be pretty safe in assuming that Jonah might not have been a great communicator, right? This is the highlight of his sermon, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. One of the things we said, he heeded the call to go. Well, yeah, he did, eventually, right? He studied, he was spirit-filled. I think that one's probably pretty true, the way the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. No fear. That's one we need to come back to. He was willing to confront, and a lifelong evangelist. Well, his life wasn't much longer than this, so I think we can check that one off. But what is it that made Jonah a great evangelist? What is it that made him great? And I think it's fear. Now, when I was in Sunday school and we were doing this class, I'm not going to blame my Sunday school teacher. This is probably definitely on me. I misunderstood what was going on a little bit. I had Jonah running from Nineveh because he was afraid of his life, or he was afraid of being tortured. Because in my mind, and I'm sure that there's not a flannel graph for this, but in my mind, there were stakes outside the city with heads on them. And Jonah was afraid to go because he was afraid for his life. There should be a flannel graph of a stake with it. No, there should not be. The children are much better off than BBC Kids and not listening to me. But in my head, Jonah was running for his life. But as we read the story, we can see quickly that Jonah wasn't afraid of death. He told the men to throw him over the ship. And here in chapter 4, he ends up asking God to kill him. He wasn't afraid for his life. I don't think he was afraid of torture. He just spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. What worse could the Ninevites throw at him? Right? I'm sure at one point when he was in the fish, he was ready for his head to be on a stake. He wasn't afraid of Nineveh. He wasn't afraid of the people. He wasn't afraid of death. What was Jonah really afraid of? It tells us at the beginning of chapter 4. He says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly when the people all trusted, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is this not what I said or what I feared when I was in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster.'" The thing that made Jonah a great evangelist is right there. His fear wasn't of the people. It wasn't of torture. His fear was that God was going to work. That's what Jonah was afraid of. It tells us he knew that God was a God of grace, mercy, patience, love, and would relent from disaster. Jonah was a great evangelist because he knew that God was going to work. He was afraid that God was going to work. See, Jonah didn't like the Ninevites because the Israelites and the Ninevites, they had a history. Some of us are that way with our sports teams, but this is much worse than that. And he didn't really want to see the people believe God. And he knew if he went and preached the truth, people would believe God. Now, when it comes to us as evangelists today, fear is the number one reason people don't share their faith. Number one reason people don't share the gospel. We're afraid that we won't do it right, or we won't be able to answer people's questions. They'll make fun of us. It might ruin our relationship with the person. Our list can go on, but the real thing that we're afraid of is the opposite of Jonah's fear. We're afraid God won't work. Our biggest problem as evangelists is we don't believe God's going to save people. Jonah was the opposite. He knew people were going to get saved. He knew people were going to believe God. Our fear is the opposite. We need to be more like Jonah. We need to believe that God is a God of grace, mercy, patience, steadfast love, and he wants to save. Do you believe that God wants to save people today? Do you believe that God's still a God of grace, mercy, patience, and love? Yes. Do you believe that the gospel has the power to save? Yes. Do you believe that God wants you to share the gospel, that he's called you to be an ambassador for Christ? Man, if we really believe these things, then we've got to believe that God will work. And if we believe that God will work, that's going to change our lives. It's going to change how we interact with people. If you go into a situation and you're like, God can save people. God wants to save people. God's a God of grace, mercy, patience, love, and wants to save. When you go into those situations, you're going to share the gospel. And when you share the gospel, people will get saved. And they'll share the gospel and will be the church that God's called us to be. So I want for you to remember Jonah. Remember what made Jonah great. He knew that God was going to work. And that needs to be the way we are. And then we need to go out and take advantage of the opportunities God gives us and share the gospel. So let's pray, and I want you to pray while I'm praying. Pray that God will help you take advantage of the opportunities. Pray that God will strengthen your faith, and you'll have confidence in him, and it'll trump your weakness. Like Natty said earlier, you can be a fool because you know that God is so great and will trump your foolishness and will bring people to believe him. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for the example of Jonah. Thank you that you used him in spite of who he was and what he did. Man, he is doesn't have many of the qualities that we would think of when we think of a great evangelist, but you used him anyways. And thank you that he knew that you would act. Help us to grow in that knowledge. Help us to grow in our faith and know that you will save people. Give us the boldness that we need to share your truth. Give us the confidence in you and help us to jump on the opportunities you give us. Thanks again, in Jesus' name, amen.